Welcome to Elaine's Kitchen Table. This is where we share tips about business and parenting. Being a mom of three, CEO of the award-winning company Easy Daisies, speaker and educator, you're going to learn the tips and secrets of successful and incredible people. Elaine wants you to be inspired, challenged, and motivated, and that person you want your kids to grow up to be. This is Real Talk for Real Life.
Hi, welcome to Elaine's Kitchen Table, where we talk about how to create better family, health, business, and self. And I am so excited to introduce my guest to you today. She is sometimes known as the Booger Queen. What? Yes, that's right. The Booger Queen. Well, Nina Farzin, that's her real name. Nina Farzin is a strategic innovator, an expert negotiator, and the founder and CEO of Oogie Bear. Nina built Oogie Bear from the ground up as a mother looking for a safe, comfortable, sanitary solution for her babies. She founded the company in 2015, and sales increased quickly as Oogie Bear started selling in major retailers, including Amazon, Walmart, Nordstrom, Target, Bye Bye Baby, and so many more. Nina also successfully pitched on Shark Tank. That's right, Shark Tank, just like Dragon's Den here in Canada. And two sharks offered her $600,000 to be part of Oogie Bear. Nina, welcome to Elaine's Kitchen Table.
Thank you so much. I feel like you're talking about someone else, but yay. It's incredible. And I'm a booger picker.
Yes, you are a booger picker.
Oh, my goodness.
I love your mug. Hold up your mug so that I can just read it out to those who are just listening. It says, world's best nose picker. That's right. She's proudly holding that mug. World's best nose picker. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen anyone claim that position before.
Oh my God. You know what? You have to embrace it when you're doing something so gross, but hopefully helping so many people. So I think I would have been the queen and king on Shark Tank because I appeared on that show with my husband.
Yeah.
My husband's a periodontist, so I couldn't put him in a king's outfit and claim that he's the booger king, I guess you would say, right? And if anyone knows me, they know I am so I'm like the worst person to talk about poop and boogers and any of that. And to embrace that, I have overcome a huge
congratulations
here in life. Yeah, that now I'm proud to say I am the booger queen. So
yes, I know. I'm just like envisioning a crown just being placed on your head right now.
Yes.
Now, you have an incredible story. I would love for you to share a little bit about you and just your journey to how you started from being mom to being the booger queen. Tell us more. You are a mom of three.
Yes, I'm a mom of three. Never did I imagine I would be sitting on this podcast talking to you about my business journey. I have my doctorate in pharmacy and a clinician in heart and loved what I was doing. So I thought maybe I would be in that arena and talk about, you know, health and wellness versus business.
Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. That all kind of changed for me when I had my first child. She was born with some breathing issues and could not sleep through the night. And as a working mom, as all of us can relate, I had to get up and get to work the next day. Right. And she would be awake in the middle of the night and the whole household will be awake.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly difficult to function. That was one part of it. The bigger part was that I was terrified of her not being able to breathe through the night. And
every mom's worst nightmare right there.
And it was the silliest thing. There were boogers, there were mucus there that would prevent her from breathing. And of course, she would wake up in the middle of the night. And that was our every night for, I think, gosh, I don't even know how long. And at that point, I was like, there's got to be a better way. I was a pharmacist, so I knew what was on the market. Everything on the market geared towards this slurpy, slimy, let's do a suction method. And if it's not, let's put saline and then let's suction it out. Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't do that to her in the middle of the night. I was like waterboarding. I don't know if I could say that, but waterboarding. I was like, I can't put saline. I mean, can you imagine in the middle of the night you're putting saline?
They're choking. Yes, you can.
And I'm a big advocate of saline. I think it works really well, but I just couldn't do that. And I was like, well, there's got to be a better way. And there was nothing, you know, their little nostrils are so little and they're so fragile. There was just, I think moms are great in coming up with solutions when you're
agreed.
Desperate, right? Mm-hmm. And so with my background, I knew what was on the market. I knew that's not going to help me. And I remember sharing this story with my mom, and she was like, oh, just go get a bobby pin. And I was like, you don't know my child. My firstborn, she's a soccer star right now, you know, all grown up. But she is like the most active. Yeah. Not have said still. There's no way I could have done that. And then what if I hurt her? You know, you're going in a very, you know, sensitive area. And yes. She already had breathing issues. I didn't want to make that, worse. And not to mention, I didn't want to contaminate anything. You don't know how clean things are, right? So many things that were going on. I decided I was going to come out with a product, and kind of like any entrepreneur or anyone thinking about a product, it kind of went to the side, and I was just trying to figure out what can I bring to help. I wasn't at that point thinking I'm going to have a business, come out with a product that would help. With my background being in a pharmacist in hospitals, I was like, great, they're going to need this product. The more research I did, the more I realized, wow, in the hospitals, they have a lot of stuff. They have better stuff. And it's when mom goes home that it becomes a problem, right?
Yes.
So I geared my attention to, okay, now I have to find a product that is safe.
Right.
Effective for mom. And if I have my, you know, some kind of health background, and if I'm really this upset and, just uptight of what I'm going through, I can't only imagine what a regular mom who does not have that background can. So to me, that was just like, okay, a moment of truth. But, you know, as all moms, we all get busy, we get bogged down, and everybody was like, you can't patent a loop. Like, what the heck? This is so stupid. Like, what are you going to do? People were laughing at me. They're like, this is really a problem. So fast forward until my brother had his kid and we were visiting. And all of a sudden, my sister-in-law looks at me. She's like, Nina, I am having sleepless nights. She was also a working mom. How do you address these boogers? And it was like an aha moment. Like, what? Yeah. She's married into the family. She can't be crazy like me, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, I totally have a product for you, because I've been working on my little, you know, whatever hobby call it at that time.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, this has helped me so much. And so I knew, and then I looked at my husband actually, and I said, I'm bringing this to market. And my husband looked at me in a very loving way, and he's extremely loving and supporting the entire way, but he knew how to push my buttons. And he was like, let's see you try.
I love that.
It made me realize, oh my God, am I just talking? Am I just saying I'm going to do it? Let's put the action behind it. And the whole world, new
be
world.
A doer.
Yeah, has opened up for me. And here I am talking to you about my booger tool. And being
that is so good. I have to applaud you and say thank you on behalf of all moms, because, you know, like, I love what you said. Like, you have the training, you have a doctorate in pharmaceuticals, and you have the knowledge and access to tools that many other people may not have. But you are helping the everyday mom at home who's like, what do I do? And if you have a baby, you will have boogers, and you will have a baby that might have a cold that will be struggling breathing. So amazing. So thank you.
Yeah, no, and my God, I need to thank all the moms that understand and went through the same problem that I did and supported me. My goodness, I would not be here today if it wasn't for that. So I need to thank all the moms out there. We all share in the same problem, same issues as having child. And it's a community, right? We need
absolutely.
We need each other.
We
and
do
in
need
this
each other.
World, this is our village. This is our community. So we all need to be sharing.
No, so good. And you said it so well when you were speaking just now about how, you know, moms, we come up with solutions, right? We have to be quick, like, and you find a way. You just innovate without even thinking that you're an innovator. Like, I'm thinking like moms who are like with kids hiking in the woods and the child's shoelace breaks, you find a twig and you tie that shoe. You find a solution. You create solutions. So I love what you have done.
As human beings, we're here to innovate. I think we've innovated so well that we've kind of lost our way. We're push button people now. Everything's a button away, right? But I think we're here to innovate. And I think the products that for what I hear and I'm experiencing are the more simplistic, natural ways that do well. So I think in all of us, it's just kind of figuring out what's
absolutely. And, you know, seeing what is around us. And so I know we were talking earlier, and when you're saying, you know, everything has a solution, it's often a push of a button, but the simple things help and create solutions. And when we were, so our family was on Dragon's Den, which is the Canadian version of Shark Tank. And I remember what Kevin O'Leary had said was what he loved about our product was that it was not electronic. And our it was a tactile product that you can move, a physical product, that kinesthetic move is like getting a pat on the back, rewarding and teaching children intrinsic reward, not a button that you push.
I love that because look at the world we live in. It has to be updated if it's an app. It runs out of batteries. It, you know, you can't, there's so many complications that go with this push button method or anything. It's made us even like we don't. Yeah, we don't even need to go get our dinner anymore. You know, we push a button and dinner comes to our house on the couch. So I think we need to really kind of step back and say, we're great innovators. But I love that simplistic view that you just said. And I think that's why our products probably did really well.
Thank you. And now speaking of innovation, I know that my listeners are saying, okay, wow, Nina, like they're pulling over if they're listening in the car right now and looking up Ookie Bear. What would you say is your best tip for a product-based business just starting out? What would you say to this man or woman who's listening saying, you know, I got a product idea and I'm trying to make it and here it is. What is that best tip for this product business starting out?
100% without a doubt. And I think you've heard this on Shark Tank is proof of concept. Mm-hmm. Does your product have proof of concept? And of course, solving the problem, right? So without proof of concept, you really are going to spend a lot of time, energy, and money. It could be wasted. So focus and make sure that there's proof of concept before you start that product.
I love that. So good.
That transformed my life, actually. That's exactly how I started. The first trade show I went to, I didn't even know what product. I knew there was moms. And I remember my goal was that 50 other moms would actually understand my product. I never thought I would have a multi-million dollar business around it, ever, ever, ever. I just thought, okay, 50 other moms are going to like it and I get to have a patent. I get to put it next to my degree. I think I value the patent more than my degree at this point. But I figured, okay, we'll have a patent and that's it, right? We'll have moms will find it's useful. I went to my first trade show. I had a line of moms. I didn't know what to sell it for. I could not believe the overwhelming response that I received. I remember calling my husband on the phone saying, hon, I think I got something special here.
Oh my God.
That was the concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it because it can't just be your mom and your aunties buying the product. It has to be like, this is a real solution for a real existing problem and that can help. That is better than anything out there.
Yeah, although I have to say, I think family members are great because they want to poo-poo everything, right? So they'll give you your honest opinion. But I think beyond that, you need to see, you know, is someone willing to pay for that product? Are you solving a problem for that person?
Oh, I love it. Are people willing? And pricing is hard, right? I agree. Like, pricing is hard. Do you have a model that you go after for your pricing? How do I price something?
Well, I told you when I first started, I didn't even know what to price it. I didn't even want to charge people. I was just so excited that people wanted it, right? So I think I want to say I have a method now because now I understand margins and like, you know, what goes into developing a product. But at that time, I didn't know. And there was a lot that went into that product. Mm-hmm. So as we understood the cost of our product, we were able to say, okay, this is how much it has to be sold for us to be able to continue to sell this product. So that developed a business model. But I have to tell you, I think I've asked this question from experts of the experts. Mm-hmm. I don't any like magic way. I think it's just what feels right. And the numbers speak very loudly. Yeah.
Yes. And I think when I first started, this was a constant question I asked too. And what I had heard in the beginning was multiply it by 6 or 5 or 6, your cost of development. Yeah,
that sounds about right because there's so many layers to getting to market mm-hmm. that you to make sure that everybody has their share.
Yes, and their piece of the pie.
Yeah, that's sometimes what drives the cost too high, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I know I could tell you for sure our product we would not be in business if we were not able to charge, because we put so much testing into this product. I mean, it looks so simple. It really does look simple, but it's so effective. Wow. And there's so much thought and testing that has gone through this product. So we have a lot of knockoffs, unfortunately, but the product's great and it sells great and does a job. And these knockoffs don't understand the length of that tip, the function of that tip. Pediatricians do not want you to stick anything in the nose or the ears. We know that. And we know they will. So I knew it has to be a product that was safe and effective. And the way you use it, you want it to be in and out really quickly. I think it's the third common, if I'm not mistaken, the third common reason why parents are in the emergency room. And they're putting the product, putting a tip on it, not understanding the length, not understanding the tympanic membrane, that you could rupture it.
Oh, my goodness.
The quality of that product, I don't even know if they know what PVC, PABA, latex-free. I remember when I was doing that, nobody understood why the importance. And now today, most people are doing that just because now people or moms are aware of that.
Yes, they are.
And thank goodness, because where was that when my little ones were little? Like, nobody thought of that. And
I know. Where was your Oogie Bear product when mine were little? Come on, lady.
It's so little. Why are you so worried about PVC and PABA? Hello. Well, I understood it because of my background. And now today, thank God, most products are aware of that.
Yes.
And they're taking that extra caution.
I see that on labels a lot now for baby products, for sure. Now, we've gone through, okay, well, I have this proof of concept idea. Now, what would you say are your top three, Nina, your top three tips on how to get products onto store shelves? Big question.
Okay, twofold. First one, without a doubt, persistence, persistence, persistence. If I have to say that, but before you go and, you know, show that persistence or act on that persistence, I think you need to know who the buyer is. And you need to make sure that buyer understands how you solve a problem. There's so many products of the same kind of products in the market. For you to be able to get their attention, you have to offer a solution. You really have to understand and who that buyer is.
Mm-hmm.
But persistence, persistence, persistence. That has been, that comes naturally for me. So I don't know if I'm really working at it. I knew that this product would be in the store. Like at that time, unfortunately, Bye-Bye Baby closed. Now they've reopened. But at that time, I was a Bye-Bye Baby shop, like I was that mom, and I sold myself knowing where it's going to be in that store.
So
and
good.
That made it a little bit easier to be able to talk to the buyer, because I knew what that mom was looking for because it was me.
Mm.
And so really understanding, I think those aspects help a lot.
No, that's so good. So your two points were, you're saying persistence, persistence, persistence. And then second, know your buyer. Know the store so well. Like you said, you knew exactly where it should be located, being the customer that you were actually targeting. I love that so much. And I love your persistence, 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 because they say it takes about seven touches before a sale can happen sometimes, right? And I know, like, you know, when a product creator starts to take it personally and feeling rejected, but you know, people are busy. Like, people don't open every single email, and maybe they've seen it, but you know what? They might think, I'll get back to it. But that's on us to be persistent and in a kind way, not in a stalker way.
I think as an entrepreneur, you can't be offended with anything. You can't be offended for someone to say no to you. That shouldn't stop you at all.
No.
That can energize you that, oh, what? You're saying no? You don't understand. Let me show it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's my go-to.
No, I love that so much. Okay, when it comes to manufacturing then, what advice would you have to someone when they're trying to find a good manufacturer?
Oh, I like that question, because we're actually partnered up with a new factory right now. And I think you need to do your due diligence. You need to go visit with them. You need to make sure that they are in line with your thinking, you know, the types of products you want to bring in, making sure the testing is, you know, they're able to do all the testing, necessary testing. Unfortunately, I could not make my product in the U.S. At that time, it's just they couldn't physically do it. I told you it's a very simple product, but there was a lot of nuances Absolutely. That go into that. But finding a factory that replicated the quality and testing that I required was utmost importance for me. And you have to really go visit with them and just make sure that they're in line with what you want to do as a business owner.
So, wow. Yeah. And may I ask, where are you manufacturing right now?
So we actually are all of our balms, our ointments and formulations is a USDA approved wow. Laboratory right here in Rockville, Maryland. So we make them fresh to order. It's almost wow. like a bakery, to be honest with you.
My God.
Everything is USDA. I mean, USDA organic certified and US made. And then our products that we require more complicated tooling are coming from China, but tested yeah. here in the US and in China. So
brilliant. No, I fully get it. I fully get it. Like even when I started manufacturing or creating Easy Daisies, well, when I first started, I was making it off our kitchen table. But then I was trying to figure out how do I make it in North America? And it was so incredibly expensive and no one knew how to do it. And I had to make it in different parts, all shipping yeah. to me. And then I would figure it out and assemble things. And it was very crazy. And then it was a blessing of the first distributor I met. He's like, you can't do this. He goes, your costs, you can't afford to sell this. And then he introduced me to a friend of his who was a manufacturer in China. And that's wow. how so it started. Yeah,
they couldn't even do it. They couldn't have, because there's two parts to that little product, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. 3 years in the U.S., I could not get anyone to give me the correct product so that that tip bends, but that doesn't wow. break off. And then
yes.
months in China, we had it. And
wow.
the thing that stopped me was the testing and quality measurements. And they hit every single one. I mean,
wow.
amazing what they did.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And it is hard to find a good manufacturer. I think I'm on my fourth one now over the years. Yeah, over the years. And it is tricky. And yeah. So thank you. That is great advice. Do your due diligence.
Yeah.
Now, if I have to applaud you, you are incredible and so inspiring. And believe me, I need to
ask these questions. I think you've been there and done that like I have. We've both been on this journey.
I'm still learning every day. You know, I feel like I'm learning every day. And I have to ask, what is your advice then for how to grow your sales year after year?
That's a great question. Wow. I would say you really have to understand your market, the platform you're working off. You have to know your product and you have to understand your customer, who you're selling to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, consumer shopping habits have changed. People are shopping every day more and more online, less store traffic. You need to be able to be flexible and adapt to that kind of change or environment. And I think that that's something that as a small business owner, we're able to do really, really easily. And probably have been ahead of that because when we started or when I started, Amazon had just, that was in its infancy kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but you know, it was still new. It wasn't where yes. it is today. And it gave me such a huge opportunity to even that platform. So yeah. I was to put this product on Amazon and moms were rating it. Actual moms were rating it. Not some buyer, you know, not someone who had a favor. Oh, I know she has another product. Let's bring in another. It was actual moms who were using it. And I never forget, I had two moms that really made me realize that I have something special. There was one parent who had a child with a cleft lip. And another child with cystic fibrosis. And both of them reached out to me with just beautiful reviews, but a letter as well. And it just made me stop that, oh my God, this is not just a tchotchke product. Like people were making me feel really insecure about this, you know, queen of, like, would you say queen of boogers? And it just felt, you know, with all my background, like my dad was like, are you kidding me? You're leaving your job for a booger tool. It was embarrassing to talk about it. And they really gave me that validity that I was looking for. And that's where I got the medical device certification for it. I went through FDA to get approved. And wow. We just knew at that point, oh, no. I do know what I'm talking about. This is important. And now after Shark Tank, I mean, they were a blessing in disguise because they allowed me to talk about breathing and the issues with breathing. Just that, you know, if we're not breathing properly at a very young age, and it's kind of brought my world together with my husband, because my husband's a periodontist and he deals with palate expansions and all of the wellness and health implications of not breathing correctly. So now we're both on this mission of let's get our children to breathe right, or at least let have the parents be aware of that to see if there's a problem at home. So
amazing.
It's like it's just I couldn't even write this if I wanted to.
No, so. I know. See, I almost want to cry because, you know, like it's very humbling, isn't it? When you create a tool that you think is just solving the simple thing of clearing out boogers, but now you're like actually, you know, creating a solution that makes life easier for that child, that parent, that family that you didn't even understand it would happen this way. And it's very humbling. So that's really beautiful.
So true. I couldn't have said it beautiful. You said it so beautifully.
I just want to hug you.
Oh, I'll give you a virtual hug.
Well, if you're ever out here in British Columbia, let me know. I'll take you out for lunch.
I think we would enjoy that lunch immensely. I think it would be a very long lunch.
Yes, it would. Right? Now, I love when I was reading your bio that you are an expert negotiator. What? That's awesome. And I always tell every mom, you know, you are an expert negotiator because, you know, you get your kids to eat your broccoli. You get them to like get out of bed without, you know, too many threats, but you negotiate. But you are incredible. And I would love to have my listeners learn from you right now. What would you say is your best negotiation tip? When it comes to business,
it's funny because I've been told that many times. I didn't know that I was an expert negotiator, but after sitting in this position for some time, I'm kind of owning it a little bit. I think what happens, or I think the reason why I've become an expert negotiator, I come from a place of true honesty and fairness. Everything has to work for both parties. You know, usually when you think negotiator, you're like, oh, cutthroat, I'm going to take some. I think that doesn't apply to me, or at least. I want to walk away knowing that it's a fair deal and really being honest about what I want. And honestly, it always works out. I've got, you know, the other, you know, people who work with me, they're always in awe, like, how did that just happen? And I'm like, because we asked and they just did it, you know, it worked out. And exactly on Shark Tank, I asked for everything I wanted. They gave it to me and then some. So it was an amazing experience. And I think after that, I don't argue that I'm not a great negotiator. I'm like, maybe I am. I don't even realize it. But I think it just comes from being honest and making sure it's a fair deal you're asking for.
I love that. Honesty and fairness. That is good. That is really good, right? Then that authenticity shows, you know, your character, right? Of, you know, I want it to be fair for you and for me. So let's do this.
You know, I think that's how I run my business. I think the business world needs more of that. I think, you know, it is a cutthroat. Believe it or not, the baby category, as you know, probably it's cutthroat.
It is, shockingly.
Yeah. And so we don't need that. We don't need that. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to go there. I think I like where I am. So hopefully
that's
I'll so be good.
That is so good.
Together.
That is very good and very savvy. So many times I have been told, oh, Elaine, you're too nice. You're going to be taken advantage of. And then the exact person who said it does it. And I'm like, and I don't want to stop being trusting. I just learn each time and am a little smarter. But it's still shocking because I still want to trust people.
But well, that's what we're told, right? You have to be cutthroat if you want to be a good businessman, right? So us women, we need to change that. Mm-hmm. We need to have a different philosophy. No, you don't need to cut throat. You don't need to. You don't need to go there. You need to be savvy and smart. But doing the right thing at the end of the day matters most.
Oh, I love that. Doing the right thing at the end of the day is what matters most. So good. That should be on another mug.
We'll work on that.
On the back of your world's best nose picker. Yeah. Now, on the same vein then of negotiation, what would you say is your advice to pitching your products on something like Shark Tank or to investors? What is the tip, your top two tips, your top three tips on how to pitch your product?
Know your numbers. As I think all the sharks talk about this. Know your numbers and know your business inside out. Really know it. So that you're not at all a question coming up. Yeah, you're not stumbling through what the answer should be.
So good. Know your numbers and know your business inside out. Now, when you say know your numbers, you're talking about everything from your profit margin to your sales from last year and your projections.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love it.
Forget everything. Any question that they throw you, you should be able to answer.
Yes, right? It's like absolutely. No matter how much you think you're going to bomb, if you can answer every question, you've done your job.
You know, and it really makes you a better business person, too, to just know all of that and be held accountable for that. So it helps you all around.
No, so good. I love it. Sure. Now, you are also a brand marketer and a very good one. Now, those who are listening might say, well, I don't have money to go and make ads and things. So what would you say? Okay, well, if you have like a very small budget and you have this great product and brand, and people have to understand there's a difference between brand and branding and marketing, but what would you say to them? It's like, okay, well, let's do this.
I appreciate you saying that I'm good at this because I'm still learning every single day. So I'll take that. Always up for a compliment, right? But I think that what has worked for us and those people who are saying, I don't have the money for this, I was that person. I started this whole business really over time, spending $22,000. I didn't really seek out to have a business. It kind of unfolded as I sold one product and then the second product and the third product and then so on, here I am today. And I think the best thing that ever worked for us is word of mouth. If you have a great product, you're going to have word of mouth and people are going to want to buy it. We didn't start spending on ads and branding up until recently, and probably after even Shark Tank was our main focus. Everything that brought us to a successful business to some measures was word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think I realized after Shark Tank, there's two ways of marketing. There's one, you have an okay product and you're going to market the heck out of it and spend a lot of money telling people they need it and it works. Does it work? Maybe. I don't know. Or you have a great product that works, solves a problem, and people are like rushing to go get it. And fortunately, it was on that side. So I don't think you need a lot of money. If you have a great product, it speaks for itself, word of mouth. And try to get the word out, in any way, just right now, hopefully someone will look up Boogie Bear and be like, what is that product? Let's see what it does.
Oh, I love it so much. I think you are the second very successful entrepreneur who has said that. Like this other company that's called Eno Foods, and they have never spent a penny on marketing because he said to me, Elaine, if your product's good enough, it will sell itself. And I love what you said, that word of mouth, and whether it's, capturing those testimonials and sharing them in your Instagram posts or making sure your testimonials are on your website is so key. And as you mentioned, what you loved about Amazon from that start is the testimonials or the reviews are your testimonials. And that speaks volumes, right? Because I check reviews. Everybody checks reviews when they are buying.
We have 60,000 reviews on this little product.
Wow.
So much that our competitors, I think, were buying reviews because all of a sudden they caught up to us. Yeah. It was quite interesting. I'm not even sure if you could do that on Amazon, but if you're that big, I'm sure you could do something. But I have to tell you, that is the success of anyone who sees our reviews automatically knows this product is great.
That's so good.
On Amazon, it's legit. They're just parents who have bought that product and are speaking from the heart. And I so appreciate that.
That is so good.
That's what the buyers are looking at. That's how you get into the stores. The buyers will look at that. Just like us who look up a product to see if we want it, they're going to look at the reviews. Oh, wow, I do need to talk to this person because look, everyone's talking about the product. So it's a great place to start.
I appreciate that so much. Now, when people look at you, Nina, they're like, oh my gosh, you're so successful. That must have happened like overnight. No. It's like a 10 years overnight kind of story, right? Now, I would love for people to just hear you. And we all have failures. We've all had huge stumbling blocks. And the difference is, you know, we use that stumbling block and we push ourselves up and we climb using it as a stepping stone to keep moving forward. So there's a saying that says, tough times never last, but tough people do. And Neil, can you think of a hardship or a fail that you have done in this journey that you had to face and how you rose from it? Just so that people can relate and say, oh, okay.
Oh my goodness. I think there's so many I can think of. It's like, which one do I want to share? I think as an entrepreneur, you fail a lot. You better love failing and learn to love failing, or at least learn something from every fail. Sometimes not to do something, right? I think the biggest one that comes to mind, I would say I came to a country where I didn't speak this language at all. I didn't speak English with parents that didn't speak English. Was here with my mom who had to take care of us because there was we couldn't go back. And it was a really difficult time trying to understand the language. Mm. And so be a translator for your parents, kind of help them out in this, unknown country that they didn't speak a language. And having overcome that, all the kids, my friend, they had other issues that they were dealing with. And I'm like, oh, let's look at this contract and let me translate this. And I was probably 12. We were fortunate in many ways, but that, I think that just made me better. Maybe that's why I'm a great negotiator, because I was doing it since 12.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was doing it or having to go through the mail with my parents, but not knowing that, not knowing how to speak English and being able to learn that and learn it to a level of reaching certain measures in my life that was so important, where I come from, it was very important that you either had your doctor or if you're a lawyer or engineer, anything outside of that, you were not successful. So you can just imagine what my parents went through when I told them, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing now after all these years of education, and I'm just going to go and start selling this booger tool.
Yeah.
Well, I think it took... my dad was not, he was so worried about it. My mom totally supported me. But, just having gone through this little story, there's such an appreciation for that. It's given me so much grit and so much understanding and value of what I'm doing right now that I wouldn't change it for the world. But I think that was probably the hardest thing that I probably have suppressed. And I don't know why I'm talking about it now, because there's so many other things I could tell you.
No, so good.
But yeah, and I think you wanted business. You wanted a business related, or did you want to? I think I went personal.
Well, I'd love the personal, but if you want to also share a business fail, so that our entrepreneurs who are listening, going, "Oh my gosh, that happened! That happened to me too." But what did you learn?
I think the biggest fail for me, or the biggest fear I had, is that I was going to have copycats. I thought forever that if I have a copycat, I'm done. And I remember the first copycat, and bigger companies are copying our product. They don't understand the product, but they're copying the product. And I thought, okay, well, here's our first copycat. They literally took over everything. And we were able to go through so many different levels and measures to be able to say we're different, because we are. There are a lot of people who are imitating us, but they're not us. They just can't. They have to go outside of our patent. So they don't have what we have. And I thought that would just, put me away. Like, I'm done with business, right? This was a great journey. I got here and it's made me stronger. So the biggest fear I had, that I thought I failed as, oh my God, now here are all these copycats, has made me stronger. And believe it or not, we're actually leading in our category still.
Fantastic.
So make me better. So your failures will make you better, I think.
So good. I love that. Everything you said from your personal, from the personal, like how you shared, like, you know, okay, well, you actually first said, if you're an entrepreneur, get ready to love failing because you are going to fail and embrace it, love it, and learn from it. I love that. And, you know, in your story of, you know, even being a young child and being the person who interprets for your parents, right? You were the young superstar negotiator even then. Your story is incredible. I love it so much. And then it gave you that grit. Grit is so important, right? Because it is going to be hard. It is going to be stinking hard, right? They define an entrepreneur as someone who jumps off the cliff and builds the airplane on the way down. And yeah, and now you have to learn a language. So you're reading the manual in a different language on top of building this. If there is a manual, because often there isn't a manual at all. And so, yes, it is going to be a tough one, but your story is awesome and so inspiring.
So I hope it inspires so many. If I can do it, you know, if I can get here with a burger tool, anything is possible, right? Anything is possible.
So good. I love that. If you could get here with a booger tool, anything is possible. Okay, that's your third mug right there.
Write that down.
Yes. And so my podcast is it is Elaine's Kitchen Table, but I had a stroke about 5 years ago, and then I had to pause the podcast for 2 years because I have the worst stutter that I've kind of been working on. And so I rebranded the podcast. Pardon me?
I said, you have overcome.
Thank you. And so when I relaunched the podcast, we tagged on a subtitle called Create Better because I wanted to focus on how to create better, but not like very specifically like towards family, health, business, and self. And it's still Elaine's Kitchen Table, but we talk about how to create better so that we target these things. And so many things you've already mentioned, Nina, have like just, I know, inspired me on how to create better in so many aspects of life. But I want to do like a, what do you call it? One of those speed question runs. The top thing that comes to your mind when I say how to create better family, health, business, and self. So I know you don't have much time to think about this, but what would be your best tip for how to create better family?
So first of all, I love your story. I just love that. And now I know why, because, you know, we need to go to lunch or something, because this whole create better is my philosophy. Like your booger tool, the better aspirator, the better toothbrush. We're all about being better. So no wonder you and I are just, you know, hitting it off and having a great conversation here. Quickly to answer that question, I rely on what I call my five pillars, which is family, work, self-care, self-love, spiritual, people might want God, religion, whatever they put in that pillar. And my last one is fun. And I always get questioned about this fun aspect, like, oh, I don't have, you know, the means to go on this elaborate trip or this island, or, you know, I can't have fun in my life. And I'm like, no. That fun could be anything. The fact that you and I are hitting it off and having a great conversation is fulfilling, right? It's fun. It's great. So it could be like, you know, spending some time with my son and he says something funny that I'm just, you know, dying laughing. It could be anything. So that fun is really just being able to be in that joyful moment.
Love that.
Whatever that could be. It could be during work, wherever. But these five pillars, I feel like they're almost like your battery, almost like a phone battery that you see. As soon as one is lower or higher, you have to adjust. And I don't think anyone here in this world can do all of this like perfectly. So let's take that off the table. But just trying to understand, you know what? I'm spending too much at work. Maybe family needs more. So I can, let that go a little bit and focus on what's needed. Or there's an illness or whatever these pillars. Self-love. Let's, you know, maybe I need to go start working out. Maybe I need to eat better. Maybe I need to sleep better. Spiritual, whatever energy in your heart, you know, spiritual, God, whatever religion you follow. So to me, these five pillars have really resonated with my team here. And they'll be funny. You know, I need to really work on this or that. And I just think it's so cute because they like that's how I live. But now they've coined it so much that now I am adhering to these five pillars and we always talk about it. So
oh, that is so good. I love that so much. Your five pillars: family, work, self-love, spiritual, and fun. And so true, right? Just finding time for each of those. And I love how you're saying engage them like batteries. And if one's super low and one's super high, you really need to reflect and say, whoa, and adjust that. I love that so much. Oh my goodness. That one probably answered all the other ones, but
well, I just feel like we go through life not noticing. We go through life now and we need to be so present of all of this that's happening. And mm-hmm. these pillars kind of give you an awareness and mm-hmm. brings you to the moment to realize, okay, what am I doing in self-care? What am I doing for, you know, spiritual growth? What am I doing mm-hmm. work, et cetera? And it's just, it's been such a great tool for me. And I hope that helps others.
I'm very sure it does. I'm a visual person, so I totally can visualize these five pillars. So good. So good. Sure. I'm going to repeat them again for these people listening here. Check out what your five pillars look like. If you were to summarize it right now, I'm talking to our listeners, these five pillars that Nina has shared. So family, work, self-love, your spiritual life, and your fun.
Yeah.
Like just pause and think, reflect, and just really like, you know, like whether it's in the beginning of your day or at the end of the day, to really look at these incredible five pillars that Nina has just shared. I think we're going to end it on this. Nina,
I love it.
You are amazing. I am so happy our paths has crossed and I look forward to our paths crossing again.
I hope so. I hope so. This was so much fun. I'm kind of sad that it's over. it's just been incredible. Even learning about your story and meeting you. And thank you so much for having me on this. This has been, it's inspiring for me to sit here and learn what you have done and your journey. So I hope others can hear this and just go act on their.
Go and do. So good. Nina, you're awesome. And if people wanted to find you, where can they go?
OgieBear.com. And we've got all of the, you know, social handles. We're on Instagram. We're on everywhere. We're everywhere. So, but start a website. You'll learn a lot about breathing right. And hopefully we can connect there.
Love it. Thank you. And I want to say thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I always love hearing back from you as well. And I know that if you were listening, you got at least one or three amazing golden nuggets from Nina's sharing. So thank you for listening. And Nina, thank you again.
Thank you. I so appreciate this. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, everyone. Bye for now. And we'll talk to you soon.